One Man's Family, winner of 43 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 25th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, questionnaire at midnight. Lieutenant Hank Murray, getting home from work at Letterman Hospital after midnight, sees the lights on in Paul's studio and, investigating, finds his twin brother Pinky in robe and pajamas, sound asleep in Paul's chair near the hearth.
Hey, Pink. Pink. Hey, wake up.
Huh? Oh, hi.
Hi to you.
I came up to get a book.
Oh, here it is on the floor. Oh, Modern Marriage.
Greta wanted me to read it. It's got a questionnaire that...
put you to sleep, did it?
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, a lot of stuff's happened around here today. Uncle Paul's supposed to get back sometime tonight. And Teddy phoned from San Antonio. She's got 8 days leave and her travel time, so she's coming home.
Uh-oh.
What?
Oh, gotta move then. I'm in her room.
Oh, I don't know about that. Now, wait, there's something else. Oh, yeah, Grandfather finally got that certified letter and... Oh, sorry.
What?
I forgot. He wants to tell it himself.
That's a fine thing to do to a guy.
Up here.
Oh, gosh, we're waking people up. Sorry, Mom, did we wake you?
No, I've been reading. Well, Pinky.
Hi, Mom. Came up to get a book. I'm going back down, though.
What book's that?
Modern Marriage by Jeremiah Fink. Greta wanted me to read it.
Hank, I'm worried about him.
Why?
What is it they call it when people swing from ecstasy to melancholy?
Oh, now, wait, he isn't that bad.
Oh, one minute he can hardly wait to get married to Greta, and the next time you see him, he's frantic to escape. Tonight, when he got home from his date, he was on top of the world. Then Father said something about how much insurance a family man should carry, and Pinky got that trapped look. It breaks my heart. He keeps looking over his shoulder as if he felt cornered.
Well, if he can't work up some enthusiasm about marrying Greta, he ought to have his head examined. She's as nice a girl as I've seen lately.
And she adores him, Hank.
Yeah, I noticed. Oh, what's this about Teddy coming home? I'll have to move.
No, I'll get some hot milk, Fanny.
Oh, dear. Excuse me. Father. Hey, Father.
Huh? Oh, Paul up there, Hazel?
Hank's here. If you want hot milk, I'll make you some in my apartment. Come on out. What's the matter? Can't you sleep?
Oh, I've been lying there thinking. But now your mother says I should go to sleep, so I thought I'd have hot milk. Oh, hello, Hank.
Hi, Grandfather.
How'd it be if I make you both some chocolate?
Hank would like that very much, wouldn't you? Hot chocolate with fresh homemade bread, butter, and apple sauce. Here.
I'll be right back.
I hear you got your certified letter, finally.
Yes, from the chairman of the board of the Consolidated Colossal Motor Car Company. They are sending a vice president to see me, Hank.
Don't say.
Yes, I got action. A young man named Harvey DeWitt Clinton will arrive from Detroit next Tuesday.
Well, you must have really lit a fire under him.
Well, I boxed up the parts and gadgets that fell off the car or had to be repaired and wrote an eloquent letter and sent it to the officials. And what was that? I heard somebody call your name.
I didn't hear anything.
Hank? Oh, Hank?
Oh, now I do. What is it, Pink?
Who's up there?
Grandfather. Why, Pink? What's the matter?
Can you come down here?
Come on up.
I got kind of a personal problem I want to discuss with you. And hurry, will you?
Excuse me, Grandfather. I guess Pink wants to see me alone.
Yeah, some little secret he'd like to keep from me. I don't mind. That's the way we operate around here. I've learned to enjoy it.
Call me when Mom comes back.
Huh? I may or I may not, depending on how hungry I am and how much she brings. We'll see. Go ahead.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Let's talk about people for a minute. According to the dictionary, Mr. Webster defines people as a body of persons united by a common character, culture, or sentiment. You'll notice that he uses the word united, just as our Constitution does in the preamble when it speaks of we, the people of the United States. The Constitution is filled with examples of people united by a common character, culture, or sentiment. But it is in the preamble that unity is expressed perhaps the best. Just stop for a moment and think about the phrasing of the preamble. Although written in 1787, the 52 words of the preamble form a perfect definition of our way of life today, over 150 years later. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Yes, it was we, the people, who ordained and established the Constitution. And through the intervening years, we have continued to recognize it as the supreme law of the land. But when our general welfare, justice, liberty, or the defense of our country was in any way threatened or violated, we were given the constitutional right to make what amendments we considered necessary. That's how your American Constitution works.
Hazel, carrying a tray to the studio, finds Father Barber waiting at the top of the stairs.
Hank wanted you to call him.
I'm right behind her, Grandfather.
Hank.
Let me have the tray. Huh?
Thank you.
Piggy coming also, Hank?
No, he doesn't want anything. Here.
Please.
Homemade bread. Applesauce.
I'll pour now. Sit down. What Pinky want you for?
Oh, there's an emotional history questionnaire in there.
In where?
It's a book he's reading, Grandfather, called Modern Marriage by Dr. Jeremiah Fink.
People these days lean too heavily on books. What does Dr. Jeremiah Fink know about Pinky Murray?
There you are.
Thanks. The book is supposed to help you grade your own attitude toward marriage, if you answer the questions honestly. Then you add it up and find out whether you're the marrying type.
Oh, dear.
What did Pinky score?
That's why he called me. He gave me quite a shock. It seems the mean average for borderline people who shouldn't get married is a score of 47.
Yes?
Pinky scored 18.
Say this again.
18. But he turned two pages at once and left out 24 questions. So he's working it over again.
I don't believe it. Charts, questionnaires, psychological mishmash. You can't measure love or the emotions or the qualities of the human heart. It's utter and absolute nonsense. I say when a boy has found a girl like Greta, the thing to do is marry her and meet the difficulties as they come.
Score 100.
What?
I agree with him.
If you were engaged to Greta, you wouldn't dawdle till June 28th, would you?
Score 100. I'd be afraid somebody else would get her.
Hey, listen. Oh, hi, Mom. Grandfather.
Come and have some chocolate.
No, thanks. Not hungry. Look, it says here, if you score 75 or over on the complete test, you're in every way emotionally prepared for marriage. If you score less than 70, beware. Or less than 50, see your psychiatrist at once.
Yeah, the whole thing is nonsense.
But I scored 82.
Huh?
Pardon?
What was that, Pinky?
Yeah. When I added those other pages, Hank, I'm above average material. And listen, it says if you score 80 or over, you're unquestionably splendid, above average material for marriage and should have a long and happily married life.
Pinky, how wonderful.
Well, that's great. That ought to cheer you up.
Yeah, but Grandfather just said this stuff is all nonsense.
Now, wait. Hold on. I should know better than to speak so sweepingly about a book I haven't read. Paul gives considerable credence to this sort of thing. Yes, bring me the book, Pinky. I have been married happily for well over half a century. I'll answer the questionnaire, and let us see how I score.
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
You've just been indicted for murder in the first degree. You've been arraigned. You're brought to trial, to the courtroom. But there is someone missing. Your lawyer. Your counsel. You have none. You ask for legal help and the judge tells you no. Wait a minute, you say. That can't happen here. And you're right. But it could have if a small group of wise men in silk stockings and knee breeches hadn't met in New York City March 4th, 1789, the first Congress. And if they hadn't been far-sighted enough to amend our Constitution with a Bill of Rights, making these 10 amendments the enduring law of the land. The Sixth Amendment in that document of human freedom is the one which interests us here. It is the one which begins on those simple words which mean so much. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. And it ends with these words of justice. and he shall have the assistance of counsel for his defense. There is the basis for your protection in courtroom procedure. You may have a lawyer appointed by the court to represent you, should you ever have the need. You needn't beg a judge for mercy, because you haven't the gift to tell your own true story well enough to sway a jury. You needn't beg anything of anyone under our Bill of Rights. That's why they were created by men like Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, in order to establish justice. Never forget the all-important Sixth Amendment. It is one of our freedoms.
In the studio, Hank adds up Father Barber's answers.
Hey, 82, same as Pinky.
Yeah, possibly there's more in this than I thought. I've been happily married for over half a century. That should prove something.
Over half a century? Gee, it's a long time with the same woman.
Pinky.
Hmm? Oh, I wasn't thinking about Grandmother. I was thinking about, well, going down, Grandfather?
I'm sleepy now. But if Paul gets in, wake me up. I want to tell him about my certified letter and Teddy's long-distance call.
Well, we'll see. Good night, Father. Night, Pinky.
Night.
It is. Good night. Thank you for the chocolate.
Good night. There was a question I was going to ask, and then I didn't have the nerve.
Hmm?
You suppose Grandfather had any doubts before he married Grandmother?
If he did, he didn't even let himself suspect it.
Yeah. A guy naturally has doubts about his own future, if he can make good and all that. But golly, a girl like Greta, who wants a home and kids and is wholesome and bright and attractive. My gosh, why dither around? Oh, here, let me carry the tray, Mom.
Thank you, Hank.
Now, don't get me wrong. Personally, I wouldn't think of getting married again.
I see.
But this gal is, well, she's perfect for Pinky, the poor dope. He shouldn't even hesitate. Shall I go ahead?
Please do.
It'll be a big day around here when Greta's part of this family. You don't come across girls like that every 5 minutes, you know. Times have changed.
Oh, dear.
What'd you say, Mom?
Nothing. I understand exactly how you feel. Go ahead, Hank. I'm right behind you.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 20, Book 126, Safe Trip, Happy Landing. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 43 national awards, now in its 25th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.